This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A statement made by an ally of U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay is raising questions about some Republican National Committee contributions to seven Texas House candidates whose fundraising is part of a state criminal investigation. The contributions totaling $190,000 were sent 2 weeks after Texans for a Republican Majority Political Action Committee contributed $190,000 to an arm of the National Republican Group. The money given to the Texas PAC was donated by corporations, which are prohibited by state law from donating directly to candidates. The Travis County District Attorney's Office is investigating whether the Republican organizations were laundering corporate donations. Former U.S. Weapons Inspector David Kay said Wednesday that Bush may have been selective about the facts he used to make the case for going to war with Iraq. He added that he's seen no evidence that the Bush administration mischaracterized intelligence from Iraq, but it is such a serious charge that it deserves investigation. Kay said, "The real charge that deserves careful scrutiny is not whether you picked the best argument out, but whether you actually manipulated and were dishonest about the data." In a blow to the commission investigating the September 11th attacks, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives has told the White House and fellow Republicans that he will not bring up legislation to extend its May 27th deadline. The Speaker's spokesman, John Fahiri, said Hastert told the White House and members of the House Republican Conference that it's a bad idea to extend the commission and that we're not going to bring any legislation up. Hastert cast serious doubt on its prospects for passage in the Republican-controlled House. A South Carolina psychiatrist said Wednesday he will immediately start recruiting patients after winning approval to conduct the first study testing MDMA, better known as ecstasy, as a therapeutic tool. Dr. Michael Mithofer plans to conduct psychotherapy sessions with 20 women who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder due to sexual assaults or other violence and who haven't been helped by any other treatment. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
German children are marching to pet shops to follow a pricey new trend for ant breeding, German insect dealer Martin Sebesta said on Tuesday. After the creatures were showcased as pets at a German agricultural fair last month, the self-proclaimed ant fanatic has had so much interest from children and students at his Berlin store that he plans to open two new shops. They are easy to look after, eat household scraps, and can live up to 30 years, said Sebesta, whose most expensive ants cost $1,764 per colony of up to 20 ants. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've ever driven through the heart of West Virginia, you know how breathtakingly beautiful its mountains are. Even more breathtaking, however, is the push by George W.'s environmental wranglers to rig the Clean Water Act and our nation's mining laws. Why? So giant coal companies, please take a deep breath before I tell you this, literally can dynamite off the tops of these mountains. The coal giants delicately call this mountaintop removal. And it's so dastardly, so grotesque, so exasperatingly stupid as to leave anyone who sees it whopper-jawed. The story gets uglier. Having blasted off the top third or so of a mountain, along with its forests and animals, the coal companies then bulldozed the rubble, which used to be the mountaintop, down into the valleys and streams below, literally burying them hundreds of feet deep with what the companies call spoil. Why this barbarous assault? because Mountaintop Massacre, as locals call it, is a dirt-cheap way for greed-headed coal barons to get at the coal down in the mountains. Luckily, we had regulations that restricted such avaricious sledgehammering, but that was BB, before Bush. The industry has pumped a coal train full of cash into Bush, and it even got its top lobbyist installed as George W.'s overseer of mining rules. So the Bushites rewrote the Clean Water Act to legalize the burying of streams, and now they're proposing a change that effectively will eliminate the only rule that limits mountaintop removal. With a straight face, they assert that they're merely trying to clarify existing regulations and reduce regulatory uncertainty. This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, if they get their way, it'll be a certainty that 2,200 square miles of West Virginia's venerable mountains and forests will be destroyed, and it'll be clear that another 1,000 miles of mountain streams will be buried. To fight their brutishness, call the Appalachian Center for the Economy and Environment, 304-645-9006.
Tia Carrera is on the front. In Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Here's what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots. It is so good to be back here live and on the air, coast to coast, border to border. This is Tom Hartman, and today, a couple of anniversaries. This week, actually, the end of the week, will be the end of Black History Month, and we're going to get into that in a little more detail. It's also another significant anniversary is that in 1993 on this date, the 26th of February, the World Trade Center was bombed the first time, and I want to get into that a little bit today. But first, a couple of items in the news. David Kay, the weapons inspector, it's the story that won't go away. Actually, this is on Fox News' website, although it's an AP story. It's going to be all over, and I will bet you it'll last on the Fox website until somebody from former Republican operative Roger Ailes, who now runs Fox News staff, notices that it's on their website. But here's the Associated Press story, byline San Antonio. Former U.S. Weapons Inspector David Kay said yesterday that President Bush may have been selective about the facts he used to make the case for going to war with Iraq. Wait a minute. I thought, David Kay is like, he's supposed to be Bush's guy. And here he is going, he was selective about the facts. That's what polite people say when they mean, that's sort of like, yes, that does look good on you. I don't know. It's a lousy metaphor, but we know what it's really. Kay said, the real charge that deserves careful scrutiny, this is against Bush, the real charge that deserves careful scrutiny is not whether you picked the best argument out. That's like, the various, should we go to war, shouldn't. But whether you actually manipulated and were dishonest about the data. It is such a serious charge, David Kay said, that it deserves investigation. I don't know about you, friends, but my jaw dropped when I read that. David Kay suggesting that George Bush may have, he says, I don't know, it's possible that the Bush administration, actually manipulated and were dishonest about the data, end quote. Is that what happened? And David Kay said it is a serious charge. It is such a serious charge that it deserves investigation. He goes on to say, we gave a lot of answers on the basis of very, very little fact. And now, many of our young men and women are dead. Lives snuffed out. The state of Vermont, this little state where I live, I'm broadcasting here now live from the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. This little state of Vermont has this year now lost 5 people in Iraq. We haven't had yet 1 homicide in this state this year. But we have had 5 deaths of Vermont citizens in Iraq. Not one person in this state has died this year as the result of crime. Unless you consider lying to the American people about going to war a crime, in which case 5 of our people have died. This is a real tragedy, and it deserves to be investigated. As certain as I am that the sun is going to come up tomorrow morning, and I have a relatively high degree of certainty about that, I'm pretty certain that the Bush administration is not going to investigate, at least in public and for public consumption, whether they lied to us or not. In fact, all the evidence indicates they already know. The cover story in that Mother Jones or The Nation, one of those left-wing rags this month, is called The Lie Factory. And it's about the secret intelligence agency. Actually, it's just a couple guys in an office that Rumsfeld set up inside the Pentagon. The Office of Special Plans. To cherry-pick intelligence and spin things so that up became down, left became right. And a tin pot dictator who didn't even represent a serious threat to his neighbors, who had been rendered impotent by years of American sanctions and bombing. We had bombed every single one of his airplanes into smithereens. He tried to bury a few of them under the sand to save them, which, of course, ruined them. He had weapons inspectors had gone over there, had been, top to bottom, left to right. Here's this punk. And we turned him, and we were using metaphors like Adolf Hitler to describe him. Come on. And now we have, 10,000 of our young men and women have lost an arm or an eye. Can you imagine having part of your body missing, blown off? Not to mention being the member of a family of one of those who died. And then have the administration say, well, this isn't really something that we need to look into. Well, anyhow, enough of that rant. If Bill Clinton can be investigated for having sex with an intern in the White House, it certainly seems rational that a president who would lead his nation to war and destabilize the world and alienate our allies around the world could be investigated for jerry-rigging the intelligence information and lying to the American people and the world about it for his own purposes or for purposes that may be legitimate but really deserve a national debate. Say, yeah, okay, it's legitimate that Iraq is sitting on 10% of the world's oil. It's the cheapest oil in the world, so it'll be the most profitable for the oil companies to pump out. And, they'll be shipping it out there on the oil tanker named the Condoleezza Rice from back in her days at Chevron. And, of course, you got an oil CEO as president, an oil CEO as vice president. You could build an argument, and clearly it was built before 9/11, in Dick Cheney's still secret energy policy meetings, that for the security of the United States, we need to secure more oil around the world. You could build that argument. And I would say if there was no other technology available, it would be a solid and strong argument. But unfortunately, the companies that represent alternative technologies were not invited into those meetings. They're not being listened to. They're not large enough yet to make multi-million dollar contributions to the George Bush campaign and multi-hundred million dollar investments in lobbying and contributions to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They were not invited to the table, and so we have the situation. We should have a public debate about this in the United States. If we didn't go to war in Iraq for weapons of mass destruction, and it's clear that we didn't, and that we knew that we weren't. As Paul Wolfowitz said, it was the excuse that was pulled out of the hat because it sounded good. Then why did we? I can't believe, I'm not one of those conspiracy theorists who thinks that George Bush came into office set on going after Saddam because he felt like he had to finish something his father had failed at. I'm not going to psychoanalyze him. I know it's very fashionable. Or that he was upset that Saddam had ordered a hit on his father when his father was traveling in the Middle East, and therefore he wanted to get him back. I don't think that's what it was about. I think it was about a legitimate discussion about securing the national interest of the United States, but one that was badly skewed by the influence of big money and big oil. And that's something the American people need to know about. Here we have, moving along, here we have presidential, from the Associated Press, an article by Nedra Pickler. Kerry proposes warning before jobs go overseas. I'm an equal opportunity critic here. John Kerry, presidential hopeful John Kerry, said Wednesday he would require companies to give their employees a 3-month warning before sending their jobs overseas. Well, thank you, John. Instead of getting a pink slip on Thursday, you get it 3 months from Thursday, and you have 3 months to figure out that you're going to get fired. Here's a quote from the man of steel, John Kerry. He says, I won't come here and tell you that if I'm president, all of Ohio's factories will spring back to life and that the rivers of steel will flow again. You wouldn't believe me if I did, and you'd be right. He instead will require that companies that ship jobs offshore tell the Labor Department and their workers when, where, and why the jobs are moving. Gee, John, that's such a noble and tough stance. Senator John Edwards, who also supports the idea, and John Kerry are co-sponsors of legislation that would require the 90-day notification. Keep in mind, it was Bill Clinton that brought us this thing, signing NAFTA and GATT, finishing the work that Ronald Reagan started, the destruction of the middle class in America. And it's time for the Democratic Party to wake up from their... the Republicans are not going to. They're completely captive. They have been completely taken over from within by huge multinational corporate interests, those representing the interest of extreme wealth, and those representing extreme and radical social agendas, social and religious agendas. The Democratic Party still has the opportunity to wake up and become once again the party of the average American. What we have to realize is that the conservative agenda is to destroy the concept of an average American and have instead a lot of frantic working poor. This is why Greenspan says we should cut Social Security, we should make people even more terrified, and the stock market goes up. Because everybody in business, all these conservatives understand in big business, and this is going to kill small businesses and medium-sized businesses, but that's the conservatives don't care about them. It's all about big business, and they understand that if workers are terrified, they will work on the cheap, and there will be more profits for the CEOs and for those who make their living sitting around the pool waiting for the dividend checks to arrive that actually are taxed at a lower tax rate than the rest of us who work for a living. This is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes after the hour. defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
December 1st, 1955, our freedom movement came alive. And because of Sister Rose, you know, we don't ride on the back of the bus no more. Sister Rose, she was tired one day after a hard day on her job, when all she wanted was a well-deserved rest, not a scene from an angry mob. A bus driver said, baby, you got to get up, cause a white person wants that seat. But Miss Rose, she said, no, not no more.
Thanks to Rosa Parks. God bless her. What a noble woman who, many people think Rosa Parks just one day decided to say, no, I'm not going to give up my seat. She actually, this is the lesson for all of us. She had been part of the anti-apartheid movement in the United States, the anti-segregation movement for years. I believe she was a member of either CORE or SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. I forget which one. I don't have the history of her right here in front of me, and it's been many years. But she had been participating. She had been going to teach-ins. She had been learning. She had been politically active. This was not something out of the blue. Just like when Plessy decided to get himself arrested on that railroad car in 1896 in, as I recall, Louisiana. Might have been Arkansas, but I think it was Louisiana. Railroad policeman Ferguson arrested him and just, you know, threw him off the train. He got back on, threw him off the train, got back on. That was not an isolated incident. That was part of an organized attempt to create a case that would make its way to the Supreme Court. And it did. Plessy versus Ferguson. Unfortunately, it institutionalized discrimination in the United States from 1898 or 1896, whichever year that was, Plessy versus Ferguson, right up until 1954. Brown versus Board of Education struck it down. But we have to keep in mind that it is movements, it is people getting active, and it's not just the occasional accidental person standing up and saying, gee, I think I'll walk into the whites only compartment, or I'm not going to give up my bus seat. These people had labored in the fields. And that's what we all must do. 1-800-TALK, yes, or number 1-800-825-5937. Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line. Hey, Billy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm good. Tom, first of all, before we start, let me just thank the UAW for bringing us this non-right-wing talk shows all this time.
Yes, God bless them.
God bless them, God can't bless them. There's no such thing as God. It does seem
the universe
amazing.
Blessed them.
I'm sorry, what?
The universe blessed them.
There you go.
Whatever you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah. How about just we humans look upon them fondly?
That works for me, too. I'll take all of the above, actually.
Amazing that it's going away. This the network is going away right before an election year that's so important. It's astounding timing, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's something. It's been the network's been struggling for a while.
So, I know that.
You know, much of the programming is continuing on. Doug Stephan Show.
I'm trying to convince George Soros, in fact, to actually buy the network and recreate it, because he says that he would spend his entire fortune if someone would guarantee the defeat of George Bush. And I'll tell you something, seeding radio to right wingers virtually
I'm not doing that, Billy. This show
I know
is continuing.
Not. I know
we're
going to
be on all
what?
The stations we're on. We're going to be on the internet on radiopower.org. Go to tomhartman.com. You'll find it all. This show is continuing.
And Tom, I'm going to try to help you bear down on these people. And here's how we're going to start.
We got about 20 seconds, Billy.
Okay.
Or I can hold you over the bridge.
Here's what Congress is doing today. I just tuned in. Over in the House, they're voting to make choice tougher again. They're trying to pretend that when you kill a pregnant woman, you've killed two people. And the whole thing is designed as an attack on choice, because when they try to craft the bill a little differently so it isn't about an attack on choice, they're not interested. Over in the Senate, they're trying to pass a law that indemnifies gun manufacturers from any responsibility ever again.
Yeah, these
Congress is...
Yeah, the former is part of the, you know, let's distract them at any cost agenda. The latter is part of the sucking up to an industry agenda. Billy, hang on the line. Let's continue this conversation after the break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Urban heat and air pollution add up to more lightning in some cities. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Houston is one of the biggest cities in Texas, and it's the lightning capital of the Lone Star State. Several years ago, students at Texas A&M University took a close look at the lightning around Houston. They discovered that acre for acre, the urban area has more than 40% more lightning than rural areas farther away. They say the reasons are hot air and air pollution. Richard Orville is a meteorologist at Texas A&M, and he worked with the students on the lightning study. He says hot air rising from ground level adds energy to storm systems, and tiny aerosol particles and air pollution make it easier for water droplets to form out of airborne water vapor. Orville says there is plenty of heat rising from ground level around Houston. He says roads, rooftops, and other urban structures create a pronounced heat island effect. He says there are plenty of aerosols, too. They're in exhaust from cars and emissions from petroleum refineries. Orville says these particles are carried aloft, and then they form small water droplets that interact with airborne ice crystals. The result is an electric charge that builds up in the clouds until it explodes as lightning. Orville recently singled out air pollution as a factor in lightning around another southern city. He says Lake Charles, Louisiana, has a lot of lightning activity. Lake Charles is smaller than Houston, so it does not have a strong heat island effect, but Orville says Lake Charles does have a lot of petroleum refineries, and that's the connection to the lightning.
And what we've identified is that the enhanced lightning activity, increased lightning activity, is associated with the areas where you have petroleum refining going on.
Two research papers by Orville and his students have been published in scientific journals by the American Geophysical Union. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. Or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Six minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. And thanks to the great folks who at IE who have been bringing you this programming up to this point. And we were talking with Billy. Billy, before you continue your rant, I'd like to stop you in midstream and just ask a question, if I may. Assuming you're still there. You still
I'm
there?
Here.
Yeah, okay.
And you correctly did call it a rant. That's what I do. I rant.
Yeah, me too. It's okay to rant, especially on talk radio. You're a member, as I recall. I mean, it's been a while since we've talked about this, and we've picked up stations in Las Vegas and Detroit and a few other cities since the last time, frankly, that I think that you and I had this conversation on the air.
Congratulations.
So thank you. We got a lot of new listeners who don't know who you are. You're a member, a member of the class of people who makes their living sitting around the pool getting dividend checks in the mail to some extent. Is that not correct?
I am a person who, as a result of my wife's hard work, is retired due to stock options from a company that is one of those few companies that doesn't prey on either its employees or its customers.
That's great. I'm not diminishing the nobility of what you're doing. I know that you.
Well, there's nothing noble about what I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay. Or of the company or whatever. I mean, you know, we don't need to pick on companies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty to pick on, but that's not the point of my rant here. This one. I'm just wondering how, you know, here we have an administration that is absolutely dedicated to serving the needs of people who are in your economic category. Who are millionaires.
Yeah.
And yet you're standing up and saying, wait a minute, these guys don't represent me. I know that you have, you know, there's a social agenda that you have. No, these guys don't represent me.
Oh, yeah.
But what about the economic agenda? What, you know, tell me about, you know, how do you feel about the fact that, for example, your dividend income is taxed at a lower rate than is the income of the guy working down the street from your house at the 7-Eleven who gets a paycheck?
Okay, you know that's a softball, and I'll respond to it. When I ask myself, I see that the rich have gotten much richer while the middle class has gotten poorer.
Yeah.
And then when I look around and I say to myself, well, this George Bush, what does he want to do? Does he want to fix that, or does he want to make that permanent? And it's clear he wants to make that permanent. Now, it's pretty obvious that the people who are working, who get a paycheck, are being taxed very, very heavily. And the way the tax structure has been working, clearly the Congress has paid attention to those people they can get the most money out of. So what we've seen is we've seen corporate taxes almost disappear.
Yeah, they're down to 7% now. They're down to 7%. They were at 17% just 10 years ago.
Exactly. And, you know, isn't it amazing that the same companies that would live off the government, like a Halliburton, also tries to not pay its taxes by headquartering subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands, that it is still really completely running from this country. So that one of the things that I would suggest to you is that we have a law that says you don't get to have government money coming to you. You don't get to be on the public support system if you aren't paying your fair share of taxes. And 7% is not a corporation's fair share. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to tax dividends so very low when you're taxing real work in such a high way.
Yeah, now here's my answer to that question. I mean, there have been times in my life where my income has put me into the top brackets, and this year and last year certainly were not among those times. But you know, I don't think I've ever been as wealthy as you are, but I've done well in some of the years when you know we've run businesses that we started, and or when we sold them.
That's because the work you do is more about doing the right thing than making money, and I salute you for that.
Well, I've done both in my life, frankly, Billy, and being the ADD guy that I am, I can't just do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the point is that
as well.
Here we are. It's a club. I always figured that when I, you know, back when I was making enough income to be paying 38% of taxes of my money in taxes, that was an okay thing, because I've been in the third world and I know what it's like to live in a country where you have rich and poor and no middle class, and literally you walk out the front door of your house and there's little kids standing there waiting to beg from you. And I don't want to live in that kind of a world. I don't want to go back to that, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's movie, The Streets of New York, or whatever it was called. You know, that I don't want to go back to the era of McKinley in the United States, or back to the era of Dickens, the Victorian era in England of great wealth and great poverty, which is the conservative agenda. And I think that, you know, in those years when I make a lot, and in those years when I make very little, I'm willing to pay my share to live in a society where the quality of life is such that I'm comfortable, that I enjoy living in this society. And I think that's a reasonable reason to pay taxes and to not associate the word tax with the word burden.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fact is, take a look at the support that George Bush has today. Clearly, he's been destructive on almost every international and domestic argument. But he still has 40% support of the American people. Why? Only because of two possibilities. Number one, they're just greedy beyond belief and don't want to pay their fair share of taxes. And number two, they are socially a bunch of animals.
Or number three,
women.
No, Billy, I think that there's a number three that you're missing, and that is that people are working so hard so much. I mean, you got half the kids in America coming home to empty houses. Yeah, people are working so hard that they don't have time to pay attention to the details, and they and the news media is not doing a good job of informing people because we now have infotainment. The days of Walter Cronkite are long gone, and it's only on programs like this and on the right where they're pitching their point of view. But I mean, you know, basically it's basically talk radio is the only place in America where issues are actually being discussed, and there's just not that many people who are listening to it, and those who are listening to it on the right are getting a very I would say a very distorted view of things.
I mean, Brandon Circus is exactly where we find each other. You know, you mentioned Rosa Parks a minute ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, that hero, like so many heroes, you know, my advice to the fellow listeners is, you know, this is a time and a place where we need to break every law we find that we can't stomach. The Congress passes laws not based on doing the right thing, but on trying to position us in socially uncomfortable ways. The idea that we would change the Constitution to permanently bar rights to people in this country is so disgusting and shameful to me. The fact that we just spent weeks talking about a second of breath on TV, but we refuse to do anything about poverty, health care, and the rest of it.
Those are the true obscenities.
Really lost its way. We have to stop thinking we're the greatest thing since sliced bread, because we're in deep trouble. We are looking in the wrong direction. We're letting the wrong people lead us.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Well said, Billy. I want to get on with the news here. So thank you for calling.
Thanks, Tom.
And you know, stick
one
around.
One thing about the movie.
Oh yeah.
If I go see the movie, which I probably won't, because it's just
the movie being the
hours.
One that Bill O'Reilly invested in and helped hype the
Jeezys
out of, and therefore now it's making piles of money?
Exactly. Here's my advice, and here's what I'm going to do. You know, we only have multiplexes anymore, so I'm going to find some Jew-produced movie like Spielberg and pretend I'm paying and pay for that movie and then just go see the other movie. He sure as hell won't get a dime of my money. I tell everybody that's what they should do.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Billy.
Bye.
What? 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, it's 17 minutes before the hour. This is Tom Hartman. And while Democratic here, the right is foaming at the mouth. I mean, they're just foaming at the mouth. Breaking news from Newsmax.com. While Democrat, see, you always know it's coming from somebody on the right, because it's called the Democratic Party. It has been called that since, 1790 or so when Jefferson, 1800 certainly, when Jefferson institutionalized it. But no, the Republicans, no, Democratic sounds too democratic, so they've shortened it to Democrat. While Democrat presidential candidates complain that too many jobs are going overseas, the last Democrat to hold the office is having a Scottish firm build nearly $1 million worth of cabinets for his presidential library. The foundation, the Bill Clinton Presidential Library, is spending $1 million for glass cases from a company in Scotland. The contract is worth $936,000. And get this email from them titled "Liberal Hypocrisy." Yes. It doesn't mention the fact that conservative policies have created an environment where there's no cabinet makers left in the United States. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Al, hey, Tom. Have you seen the new Medicaid propaganda ads on TV?
Oh, I've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. Our tax dollars are being used to convince us that up is down.
Well, it was run locally last night, right after the NBC National News story on Greenspan pushing for cuts in Social Security.
Yeah.
And I almost popped an embolism. I was laughing so hard. And the terrible thing is, it's not funny.
CBS actually pulled that ad for 3 or 4 days because, they checked into it and it's not a truthful ad. I shouldn't say that's why CBS did it. I shouldn't put a because in there. It's not a truthful ad. There was controversy about it. CBS pulled it for a few days, and then they decided to put it back on.
Yeah.
Tell
it to moveon.org. You know, the AARP is having a cow over the Social Security thing, which is kind of weird when you consider their take on the Medicaid bill
that,
well, and,
you know,
and William Minnelli's company,
yeah,
his ad agency put together the original Harry and Louise ads that sank the Clinton health care proposal.
Yeah.
And now he's the president of the AARP. I mean, you know, come on. The AARP basically has become an insurance selling institution. So anything that's going to diminish people's dependency on private corporate insurance And is going to be something that they're ultimately going to oppose. And that's why they liked this Medicare thing, because it had this big donut hole in it, and AARP could sell insurance for that and make more money off their members.
Make a movie, call it The Passion and the Heist.
Yeah.
It'll work. Anyway, you have a good day, man.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for calling. The number of mass layoffs rose sharply in January. 2,400 employers let go 50 or more people just in January. This from the Washington Post today. Article by Kirsten Downey. More than 2,400 employers across the country reported laying off 50 or more workers in January, the third highest number of mass layoffs, so-called mass layoffs, since the government began tracking them. It's more than a decade ago. Only in December of 2000 and December of 2002 were the number of large layoffs higher. A total of 239,454 workers lost their jobs in the January layoffs. The total jobs lost in January was the most since November 2002, when 240,171 workers were let go in groups of 50 or more. Now, you have to understand, this is a good thing in the world of the conservative mind view. Because you have more people who are dropping out of the middle class and into the class of the working poor. You know, for many years, the conservatives have been trying to promoting class warfare and trying to make sure nobody will ever talk about it by accusing those who would like to have a stable middle class in the United States of being people engaging in class warfare. But this is their thing. It goes back to Edmund Burke. It goes back to the 1700s. This is not a new argument. The conservative, the core concept, I mean, 1953, Russell Kirk wrote the Conservative Mind. It was the book that defined modern conservatism. William F. Buckley Jr., Barry Goldwater, they all based everything on it. And that book said we need a society in which there are classes and orders. This is a conservative worldview that, I mean, this is why the conservatives were opposed to the American Revolution. It was liberals who created this country, my friends. So here we have Alan Greenspan. Again, the conservative agenda rolls on. A devotee of Ayn Rand. My mother this morning tells me that she's a fan of Ayn Rand and I was raised according to her principles. See? Here's what happens. You become an independent thinker, well, for better or for worse. Anyhow, Greenspan, who is a member of the objectivist cult and now considers himself a Republican, called on Congress on Wednesday to rein in federal spending, including entitlement benefits like Social Security and Medicare, in order to cut the budget deficits. See, Greenspan didn't like the economy that we had under Clinton before NAFTA and GATT were signed, because it made for a strong middle class. Greenspan's on the record, quoted in the Wall Street Journal, as saying that part of his job is to ensure that workers feel, to use his word, insecure. And therefore, we won't have what Greenspan refers to as wage inflation. In other words, people won't ask for more money. They'll be willing to work for progressively less and less and less, and corporations and the investor class and the CEO class will make more and more and more, and it's just that simple. 1-800-TALK, yes, Bob in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, did you vote for Ross Perot?
Did I say what?
Did you vote for Ross Perot?
No, I didn't.
Why not? You don't like NAFTA, and neither do I, but... he was the only one that was saying what was going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And looking back on it, I may have voted differently. I don't think any of us realized how right he was. I don't think Bill Clinton did.
Because Bill Clinton took him to word, and he passed NAFTA.
Yeah.
The Republican Congress and Bill Clinton passed NAFTA.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, and they share the responsibility for it, Bill Clinton and the Republican Congress. And that old coot, Ross Perot, was spot on right. And we, you know, we owe him a debt, too. Bob, thanks for the call. Got to take a break here. It's 10 minutes before the hour. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my one program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this pop
clapping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when you do that.
Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And I don't. Sometimes I think the best has gone. When you look around at what we've done to persecute all we're living on, fear lies in tide. When we were children, oh, we would run, knowing that there could be someone to keep us from all that could go wrong.
And now we've got to take it on ourselves, and we can and we will. It's time to take America back, my friends. Here we have Alan Greenspan saying we've got to cut Social Security and Medicaid in order to close the budget gap, a budget gap opened by George Bush's tax cuts for the rich. Greenspan, of course, himself, a multi-millionaire, saying, no, he doesn't want to participate in civil society as a libertarian. He doesn't believe in civil society. There's only the individual. In fact, he said, ironically, he offered his views on Wednesday before Congress as an individual, not as Fed chairman. That's particularly interesting. He said it's unlikely that the United States could grow its way out of the budget deficit solely with an expanding economy, which is the pitch that Bush and company have been putting forward. The bottom line here is that there is an economic recovery for those at the top, and it's showing up in the stock market. If you make your living sitting around the pool collecting your dividend checks, you're doing good, and it's going to get better. And if you make your living working, if you make your living running a small or medium-sized business in the United States, watch out, because it's going to get tighter and harder and more difficult. Those of you who are running small businesses, as I am here, this radio show is a small business, your health care costs are going to crank up. You're going to get hit with more and more taxes. Fees are going up. Property taxes are going up. Local taxes are going up. Individuals, the same problem. But if you're the CEO of Exxon, or if, like Alan Greenspan, you make your living by getting a check every month from your broker, a dividend check, hey, life is good. There is a recovery. George Bush will tell you about it, friends. He will tell you about it. Time for a change. It is time for a change. Let's see it happen in November of this year. This is Tom Hartman telling truth and uncommon sense from the radical middle.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about
the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A statement made by an ally of U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay is raising questions about some Republican National Committee contributions to seven Texas House candidates whose fundraising is part of a state criminal investigation. The contributions totaling $190,000 were sent 2 weeks after Texans for a Republican Majority Political Action Committee contributed $190,000 to an arm of the National Republican Group. The money given to the Texas PAC was donated by corporations, which are prohibited by state law from donating directly to candidates. The Travis County District Attorney's Office is investigating whether the Republican organizations were laundering corporate donations. In a blow to the commission investigating the September 11th attacks, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives has told the White House and fellow Republicans that he will not bring up legislation to extend its May 27th deadline. The Speaker's spokesman, John Fahiri, said Hastert told the White House and members of the House Republican Conference that it's a bad idea to extend the commission and that we're not going to bring any legislation up. Hastert cast serious doubt on its prospects for passage in the Republican-controlled House. A South Carolina psychiatrist said Wednesday he will immediately start recruiting patients after winning approval to conduct the first study testing MDMA, better known as ecstasy, as a therapeutic tool. Dr. Michael Mithofer plans to conduct psychotherapy sessions with 20 women who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder due to sexual assaults or other violence and who haven't been helped by any other treatment. 12 of the women will receive MDMA prior to the sessions, while 8 will be given a placebo. Former U.S. Weapons Inspector David Kay said Wednesday that Bush may have been selective about the facts he used to make the case for going to war with Iraq. He added that he's seen no evidence that the Bush administration mischaracterized intelligence from Iraq, but it is such a serious charge that it deserves investigation. Kay said, "The real charge that deserves careful scrutiny is not whether you picked the best argument out, but whether you actually manipulated and were dishonest about the data." More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A Hungarian TV hostess sat naked Wednesday to announce she is running for a seat in the European Parliament as a candidate of the upstart Union Party. Anetka Fehr, about 30, with close-cropped black hair, sat atop a table, legs crossed, displaying her petite and muscular body, wearing nothing but a shy smile and some jewelry. Besides her visible assets, she believes disappointment with the political establishment will give her enough votes to secure a Brussels seat in the June election.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've ever driven through the heart of West Virginia, you know how breathtakingly beautiful its mountains are. Even more breathtaking, however, is the push by George W.'s environmental wranglers to rig the Clean Water Act and our nation's mining laws. Why? So giant coal companies, please take a deep breath before I tell you this, literally can dynamite off the tops of these mountains. The coal giants delicately call this mountaintop removal. And it's so dastardly, so grotesque, so exasperatingly stupid as to leave anyone who sees it whopper-jawed. The story gets uglier. Having blasted off the top third or so of a mountain, along with its forests and animals, the coal companies then bulldozed the rubble, which used to be the mountaintop, down into the valleys and streams below, literally burying them hundreds of feet deep with what the companies call spoil. Why this barbarous assault? Because mountaintop massacre, as locals call it, is a dirt-cheap way for greed-headed coal barons to get at the coal down in the mountains. Luckily, we had regulations that restricted such avaricious sledgehammering, but that was BB, before Bush. The industry has pumped a coal train full of cash into Bush, and it even got its top lobbyist installed as George W.'s overseer of mining rules. So the Bushites rewrote the Clean Water Act to legalize the burying of streams, and now they're proposing a change that effectively will eliminate the only rule that limits mountaintop removal. With a straight face, they assert that they're merely trying to clarify existing regulations and reduce regulatory uncertainty. This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, if they get their way, it'll be a certainty that 2,200 square miles of West Virginia's venerable mountains and forests will be destroyed, and it'll be clear that another 1,000 miles of mountain streams will be buried. To fight their brutishness, call the Appalachian Center for the Economy and Environment, 304-645-9006.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. It's the second hour of our Thursday program, second of our 3 hours on Thursday. And in that second hour, we always open the screen up a little bit, widen the lens, and try and go beyond just talking about politics and democracy, and you know, and share with, and although broadly within this context, share with you things that you maybe you didn't even know that you didn't know, but you didn't, and you didn't know that you needed to know, but you do need to know, even though you don't know that you needed to know, because you need to know in order to know that you don't know that you need to know this, because you need to know this, and it may be something that you thought you knew, but you were wrong about it. Here's our theme music for this segment.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Is everything you know wrong? Is America turning into a police state? Actually, I'm not sure that so many of my listeners would say that that's wrong, but we'll find out. Alex Jones is a documentary filmmaker and author. His films include Police State, Total Enslavement, and 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. He was awarded the Project Censored Award. Hey, congratulations on that, Alex. I won that this year also.
Oh, wow, great.
Yes, for his coverage of the Patriot Act and Patriot Act II, he appeared on Good Morning America, 2020, 60 Minutes, etc. He's produced 10 books, 10 films and published 2 books on the police state. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Alex.
Hey, it's great to be here, and, you know, I know this is kind of what you'd call, a liberal or progressive show, and I'm just a libertarian, and I think we're all together when it comes to wanting to live in a free society. And, you know, people know that we have some Big Brother police state stuff happening, but what's the full scope of it, and what does that mean for the average person? I mean, you know, the Patriot Act, that's just for terrorists. Well, the problem is the definition in the first Patriot Act in Section 802 of a terrorist is so broad, it includes anyone suspected of a misdemeanor. And then the Constitution...
Oh, wait a minute, Alex. Alex, if you mean if I jaywalk, I can be prosecuted, or I could be harassed, or I could be investigated under the Patriot Act?
There are, I have hundreds of news articles. We post them every week, new ones, at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, fighting the police state, where they're using them against topless bars in Las Vegas, county commissioners in South Texas. There was a Las Vegas Review-Journal article a few weeks ago where a topless bar might have paid somebody to get a favorable zoning, and why they used the Patriot Act and suspended their rights. And again, a topless bar is not a terrorist installation, but the way Section 802...
Well, it is if you're John Ashcroft. I mean,
yeah,
you know, he's terrified. He's terrified of those things above the waist that women have. He covered them up there in the Justice Department, remember?
Absolutely. And look, John Ashcroft came out and said that there is no Patriot Act 2. I have him on video in front of a House and a Senate committee, two separate testimonies that he gave last year. He said there is no Patriot Act 2. That's a total lie, ridiculous conspiracy theory, phantoms of lost liberty. And, you know, he repeated some of his past spiels. And that was 2 months after it was introduced and had been on national TV. Then they passed it December 13th, very quietly, no ceremony at the White House. And then they announced it quietly the day of the Saddam captured, the next day, as kind of a smokescreen. So they're
passing
legislation.
Hang on just a second here, Alex. You're saying Patriot 2, the sequel to the Patriot Act that everybody has been so freaked out about, has actually been passed into law?
Yes, according to Congressman Ron Paul and others, about 60% of what was in Patriot Act 2 was passed in the Intelligence Act of 2004.
Oh, yeah.
And Bush had that...
We actually reported on that here. I mean, you know, that wasn't a secret. The Center for American Progress did a whole big hoop-de-doop about it.
But according to John Ashcroft, Patriot Act 2 doesn't exist, even though we have it on Justice Department letterhead, brought to the Congress on January 6, 2003. All last year, he said, it doesn't exist, you're crazy. And then they took a bunch of provisions from it and did indeed pass it under the Intelligence Act.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And listen, in there, I mean, going back to the first Patriot Act, passed in October 27th of 2001, Section 802 says that domestic terrorism is, quote, any action that endangers human life that is a violation of any federal or state law. So any action that violates those laws, and now they're using it against pot dealers, they're using it against everybody, and it has nothing to do with terrorism. So that's your police state. And
let's stop for a second here, Alex, and just, you know, kind of define terms and make these things clear. What's wrong with this? I mean, you know, if the government has one more tool to go out and get malefactors and criminals and make society a better place to live in, what's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is, in fact, I gave a speech to the Austin City Council right before they voted to throw the Patriot Act out. And that speech is actually on the website. Folks can go watch that at PrisonPlanet.com in the video section for free. I gave a speech to the city council, and I said, look, what's wrong with giving the government unlimited power? I mean, we all know about Russia and Nazi Germany and things that happen when governments get unlimited power. But I go, let's talk about the Houston Crime Lab. Front page of the Houston Chronicle, the police chief admits they framed over 2,000 people in industrialized frame-up scam in the Houston Crime Lab. I go, Tulia, Texas, 58 black people, no criminal record, no drugs found, no paraphernalia found. The cop was doubling as a paid informant, and they just went and arrested these people.
Right,
and
but
gave
they
them
did that without the Patriot Act.
They just gave them 20 to 90 years in prison. Well, my point is that right here where I live in Texas, in Dallas, the police would randomly pull cars over. This has been on NPR, put bags of chalk in the back of the car, then the crime lab would certify it as cocaine. These weren't even known drug dealers they were framing. These were just random people. And so history shows us that...
Well, this has been going on since 1700. I mean, yeah, this has been going on as long as there have been human
beings.
Well,
exactly. So you don't want to give unrestricted, unfettered control to government because it always ends in tyranny. It is always abused by a large portion of the people in the government.
What we're doing here, Alex, is we're getting back to the whole point of the Constitution of the United States, which is that the Constitution was written, and not just the Constitution, but in particular the Bill of Rights, was written not to define what your rights are and my rights are, the way that Clarence Thomas seems to think in this Texas sodomy case when he said, I don't find any right to privacy written into the Constitution. I mean, the Ninth Amendment says any rights that we didn't spell out, you still have, guys.
It's meant to tie the hands of the government.
The purpose of the Constitution is to restrain government, not to empower the people, because the people already have the power.
That's right. It's inherent in the natural, organic law of being a free creature on this planet. You know, just like a sparrow out in a tree, we all instinctively know that slavery's wrong. And I'm glad you get it, because so many of these neocons, let me tell you something, this is why we should all be scared. There is a national neocon, a vicious, demon is the only way to describe him, on 400 radio stations calling for putting anyone who disagrees with the government in a forced labor camp. Okay? And then the governor of Rhode Island comes out last week, and I have the News 10 NBC News articles on my site. I mean, this, he really said this. If anybody criticizes the government, arrest them, put them in a camp. He said, I want to pass the World War I sedition laws. So we have this talk show host calling for putting people in camps. Now we have governors coming out with these very laws.
Well, you know, it's ironic because back in 1798, John Adams was under attack by mostly Benjamin Franklin Bach, the grandson of Benjamin Franklin, who owned and published a newspaper in Massachusetts called the Aurora. And for his politics and for his personality and everything else, and Abigail Adams just was absolutely in a fit. She was writing these furious letters to her husband and to members of Congress saying that something had to be done about Bach, and they had to stop him, and this was terrible. And finally Bach wrote an editorial in which he said that John Adams was old, toothless, querulous, and bald. and that pushed it over the top. They got past the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798.
Which is what they brought back in World War I.
Let me finish the story here. They got this thing passed, and they immediately threw in jail 20 editors of newspapers who were opposed to John Adams, and it was nearly the end of the American experiment. Thomas Jefferson left town the day that he was vice president then. He left town the day that John Adams signed that in protest, and the first thing he did when he became president in 1800 was not only pardon all those people that John Adams had thrown in prison, which included a congressman from Vermont, Congressman Lyon from Vermont, but he also paid them reparations. And
yes, sir, that is historical. It's not taught in schools like it should be.
It's not even in the best-selling biographies of John Adams. I mean, this was the thing that brought down the Adams administration, was that John Adams was behaving like a fascist, and you read McCullough's book, and he just glosses it over at about six pages out of 300.
Well,
I mean, the Republicans don't want you to know this. The new Republican conservative history is just mind-boggling.
Well, then in 1917, they came out with the similar laws tailored around that, the Trading with the Enemy Acts,
right,
where if you criticize the government, you could be killed. People were executed. People were arrested. You know, we see this time and time again.
Every generation, this comes back and revisits itself.
Now they're trying it again. Yeah. And my point is, if somebody's driving along right now listening to us, I want them to know, Michael Savage really does say, I mean, I've heard him do it 15 times, that if you just, it's on his website, if you disagree with the government, that aids the terrorist, and you should be put in a forced labor camp. We have the fourth biggest talk show host in the country saying, put Americans in camps. And look, I...
Well, Alex, just a second here. The point that I want to make about this thing before is that the tool that John Adams used was to say that he was the government. This was his argument, was that if you criticized John Adams, the president, or his administration, you were criticizing the government. And this is the tool that George W. Bush has been using. He has been saying, and we saw it in particular during the run-up to the Iraq War, that if you criticize this administration or its policies, that I actually saw on CBS News, somebody say, so-and-so was critical of the government because they had criticized George Bush. George Bush is not the government. He's the president, but he's not the government. And that was what Adams was doing, and that's what these guys are doing now. They're trying to say that the government and the administration are the same thing, and they're not. The government is this thing that has lasted for 227 years. The administration is just who happens to be in there now. Pardon my interrupting you. Alex, you still there? Hello? We've lost our feed. Ah, you lost Alex. Okay, but we still have a feed here. Okay. Sorry, we've lost Alex there. This is Tom Harbin, and I was looking over at the box there, and I wasn't seeing modulation bars. Oh, there they are. I thought, geez, we're off the air. Anyhow, and this has been the tool that has been used, is this associating an administration with a government, and it's just a completely wrong thing to do. And, Alex, we're going to try and get you back for the last 5 minutes of this half-hour segment. Sarah, on the line. Hang on. We'll pick up your call right on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
So, hey, there's a new American way. No one's serving those deserving, but there's less tax to pay. We abuse our might and mock the world as we say. Don't mess with the U.S. of A. Don't mess with the U.S. of A.
Welcome back. Are we doing the best for a nation, for America, for our individual citizens and our role in the world? Or are we turning into a police state internally and bullies abroad? Well, we'll leave aside the bullies abroad part. And we're talking with Alex Jones, the author of The Police State Is Here. Interesting new book. Alex, what's your website? How can people find out more about the work that you're doing?
Sure. Again, there's Infowars.com, short for Information War, Infowars.com. And then the big police state site is PrisonPlanet.com, Prison and Planet, PrisonPlanet.com, because we're fighting the prison planet. And, you know, it's refreshing to talk to somebody who's actually informed and knows quite a bit about our history. The military-industrial complex, I mean, I agree with what Ralph Nader said this weekend, is really owning both the parties. The Republican Party, of course, is their favorite and the one they dominate. But we have General Eberhardt, the head of NORTHCOM, our new military jurisdictional leader, telling the L.A. Times that the troops are watching you and martial law is not so bad and we're going to get rid of posse comitatus and put troops on the streets. And
now, maybe you should explain to people what posse comitatus. By the way, I should just let you know, Alex, we've got about 3 minutes in this segment, and then we're going to have we'll have a break, and we'll have 17 minutes. We can talk a little longer. Plus, I've got three callers on hold for you.
Sure.
So we need to move along.
Posse comitatus is...
I don't think most people know what this is.
Well, posse comitatus goes hand in glove with what they've done with the Patriot Act is due process. The military is not supposed to run around against the people of the country.
Right. The Posse Comitatus is a law that goes back to the
1878.
Century. Right.
And it
says that the military can't mess with civilian things within the borders of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, it's real simple. Dictatorships always have military running it.
That's right.
You know, for the dictator, and it says you can't do this. Well, now Ridge and Bush are openly getting rid of it, and General Tommy Franks, the outgoing head of CENTCOM, told Cigar Aficionado in the December issue, and we have the whole article posted on the site, he said, well, if there's one more attack, we're going to set aside the Constitution in favor of a military form of government. Now, he said that. That's a quote.
Yeah.
So we have the outgoing head of CENTCOM going, well, we're getting ready for martial law, but it's, you know, what we need. This is chilling. This is Twilight Zone 1984 type stuff. I can't believe this.
Yeah, just for a quick little background, and we'll pick up our callers right on the other side of the break, if those of you who are on hold will just be patient, because we just have a minute or so here left before this break, and I want to give our callers time to talk also. The Posse Comitatus Law, or Act, was put into place when and by whom and under what circumstances?
Well, there were excesses, again, by corrupt commanders. It's not that the North was, you know, bad. It was that
this followed
there were
the Civil
commanders
War,
who,
right?
who were out of control after the Civil War,
right.
And they were raping and killing and setting up their own little fiefdoms in different areas. And so the
in
federal
the South,
government
principally.
Said, look, you can't have troops searching and seizing and commandeering and messing with the American people. Number one, because the military has a different purview to kill people and break things, and there's not due process. And you know, Caesar brought his troops across the Rubicon 2,000 years ago. So this is throughout history, this is a bad thing. So the federal government said this is expressly a big fat no-no. And then now they've been erasing Posse Comitatus since Reagan, Bush Sr., Clinton, and then now under George Bush Jr., it's just exploding.
Yeah, and there's a specific activity, a specific legislation pressure to bring it down, or this is just, I mean, I read the article with Tommy Franks saying this is going to go away. In fact, I reported it here on this show, but I haven't seen specific legislation or attempts to do.
Well, what they, actually, I had a JAG, I've interviewed several JAG.
Let me ask you to hold that thought, Alex, and you can give us the details on the other side of this break, and then we'll pick up our callers, too. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 29 minutes past the hour. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Weather-related disasters are a growing drain on the global economy. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Last year, floods, windstorms, heat waves, and other natural disasters caused $60 billion worth of damage around the world. Researchers who study weather-related disasters say the price tag has risen sharply in recent decades, and the trend is likely to continue. Thomas Loster works for the Munich Reinsurance Company in Germany, and he heads a UN commission that studies the costs of climate change and related disasters. Loster says the most expensive weather-related damage last year occurred in Europe, where a severe heat wave wilted crops and killed more than 20,000 people. In addition, China suffered heavy flooding, and the United States was hit hard by tornadoes in the Midwest. Loster says 2003 was one of the worst years in history in terms of weather-related damage. He says that rising expense is part of a long-term trend.
If we look at weather-related losses on the long run, comparing decades, we find tremendous increases in losses.
Loster says the economic costs of natural disasters were six times greater in the 1990s than they were in the 1960s. Loster says one reason for the increase in damage has to do with the weather itself. He says some extreme weather events, like the so-called 100-year floods and storms, are growing more frequent.
Every person can read that there is a 100-year event around the corner, and this tells us that they are no longer 100-year events, but the period has shortened.
Loster says the main reason for the increase in weather-related damage has to do with people. More and more people now live in disaster-prone places, and that means there's more high-value property that's now at risk. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I opened up the paper to the page in the back. It only took
stacked against you, girl. Get back in bed.
I feel lucky.
And welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense in the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking to Alex Jones, how America is turning into a police state in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment here in the second hour of the Thursday program. Rama in Santa Fe is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, if you'd like to be on, or if you have a question for Alex, 1-800-825-5937. And Rama in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Rama, welcome to the program. Maybe Rama's not there. Alex, are you still there?
Yes, I'm right here, sir.
Okay, great.
Perhaps you want me to finish making the comment about posse comitatus?
Sure, yeah. Wrap up your point.
Well, posse comitatus, as you said, is the 1878 law, and you said, well, then if they're getting rid of it, where's the law? Well, in 96, they had a quote drug war provision that said we can use the military in interdiction of drugs, and then covertly they've had military actually in police uniforms. That's in my 9/11 Road to Tyranny film, going back even to the late 1980s, even before they made the change in 96, they've had military covertly working with police. But using those holes now, they're basically just ignoring the federal law and doing whatever they want. You know, first it's troops in the airports, then troops at troops out on the road. So basically, they're just in plain view ignoring the law and telling us it's for our own best, expanding on a couple different loopholes that were put there in the late 80s and then expanding in 1996. And it's the hallmark of a police state to have this. Another hallmark is all these federally paid for cameras going up that they claim were for traffic. Now they go, oh, they're also for law enforcement. Another hallmark of the police state is, you know, New Mexico wanting to pass a law to make breathalyzers be in all the cars. You know, oh, it'll save us from the drunk drivers. There's lots of touchy-feely reasons to do this. West Virginia wants to pass a law to make you take vaccines, despite all the problems that have come out with that. You know, there's all these different police state actions. They're making children thumb scan to get their school lunches in public schools. They're training the children to have their morning frisking by the police and the drug dogs, and they pull guns out on them routinely. It's not just in Goose Creek, North Carolina. The police state is everywhere. The Supreme Court has said that warrantless random checkpoints don't violate the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, you know, that boggled my mind. I remember the first time that happened to me. It must have been a decade ago, and I was just driving down one street, and bang, here's this roadblock. And the cops are doing basically, I'm not sure exactly what they were looking for. They claimed that they were looking for drunk drivers, but they wanted to see my driver's license.
And they wanted to search your vehicle, at least at the checkpoints I've been to. Look, the federal plans on this is all federally paid for with the states, say that this is about training us to accept internal checkpoints, internal passports. Bill Clinton, of all people, and Bush has actually expanded the funding, the National Seatbelt Initiative of 98, $2.4 billion a year. In Part 3 of the plan, it says, oh, this isn't really about seatbelts and safety. It's about establishing internal checkpoints and toll roads and taxation, and law enforcement wants this so they can search your vehicle and look for drugs or guns.
Yeah.
But again, it's all about the police state.
Remarkable. We're talking with Alex Jones, author of The Police State Is Here. Bill, is Rama in Santa Fe still there, or should we go on to Josh in Missouri? Rama's here.
I'm still here.
Okay, Rama, welcome to the program. I couldn't hear you before. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just wanted to say that in reference to your guest, what he is saying is absolutely true right now. There are death camps all over the United States. They are secret. They are planning to do this. And I just want to say we have Hitler in the White House right now, and we constitutionally need to remove him immediately.
Okay, Rama, thank you. Now, you know, let me say, you know, I think that, number one, to say we have death camps is over the top, but we do have...
Emergency
FEMA centers. Exactly. I was going to say, under the... what is the agency called?
Homeland Security. But they were set up
FEMA,
in the 1980s.
Isn't this under FEMA that this stuff was set up?
Yes, this was... I have the Senate hearings in my police state to the takeover, and it's where Jack Brooks from Texas, the Democrat...
Right.
Ask Oliver North about the FEMA camps and the Roundup plans.
Yeah.
Well, I have those plans. Those were declassified in the 90s. And
what had Oliver Norton said about that?
They actually have 12 civilian inmate labor camps that were secret until 1998. They were set up in the 80s. They take they have secret federal prisons where they just take federal prisoners and they work under military control. So they do have these set up. I wouldn't call them death camps, but I would agree that they are attempting to now use the shadow government infrastructure that the military-industrial complex set up, you know, going back to the end of World War II, and now it's grown into this evil thing.
Well, Raman, what they say is that these installations, although you can't get close enough to them to photograph them because they're well patrolled, but you know, it's a kind of an open secret where they are.
There are people in 12 of them.
Yeah, well, they say that these installations are actually there in case of a natural disaster,
sure,
so that they'll have a place to relocate people to, so that they'll have a bed to sleep in during the night, and they can be fed if there's an earthquake in California, or if the geyser.
Well, I have the declassified documents. That's one of the reasons. They also say civil emergency, homeland security.
If the Russians bomb us, you know, something like that.
Well, the question is, why do they think we're going to revolt? Just last week, Homeland Security had some big to-do in Anniston, Alabama, giving out free armored vehicles to police, and they said this is for urban warfare, this is for suppression and riot control.
Yeah, well, they spent $7 million out of the $30 billion the $87 billion that was appropriated for Iraq. They spent $7 million of that in Miami, Florida.
Yeah, spying on citizens and attacking judges and news reporters.
Yeah, during the anti-NAFTA, whatever it was, protest.
Exactly. So the point I'm trying to make here, and this is just a great show, is that whether you're a conservative or a liberal or a libertarian, I mean, you know, your listeners would probably consider me a, you know, conservative because I'm, you know, pro-gun and sovereignty and all that. But at the same time, I see the most dangerous crowd as the neocons because they really are fascist. And
they
when
don't
you
believe
read
in
the
democracy.
PNAC, when you read the PNAC documents, you know, it's all megalomaniacal dictatorship.
Oh, I know. These people, I mean, you know, it's Strauss, you know, tell the lie for the greater good. They don't believe in democracy as a small d, as has, and I'm not talking about the Greek democracy of mob rule.
No, I understand. They don't believe in a republic,
yeah. Yeah, modern.
They believe in the elite running things because they know best. And. And,
yes.
and they believe in Nietzsche. They believe in the Superman.
Yeah.
You know, Ron Paul. He's a Republican from Texas. He gave a speech in July called "Neocon" in the well of the House. He said the greatest threat to freedom is George Bush and these neocons.
Yeah, Ron Paul is one of the few conservatives out there who actually, in the spirit of Barry Goldwater, still has a conscience and a moral compass. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. Josh in Missouri is on the line. Hey, Josh, thanks for waiting so long. You're on the air.
Thanks for another great show and taking my call.
Sure.
I hope I'm getting through okay.
You are.
Yes, and thanks to your guests for your really timely and useful work.
Yeah, our guest is Alec Jones, Infowars.com. And your comment or question, Josh?
Well, I guess a comment and a question. The comment, I suppose, is this is alarming and not really a new thing to me. I've been thinking about it for a while. And
but it's accelerating now.
Yeah, I don't understand how so many people in this country can be so naive or misguided as to think that they are patriotic Americans while they allow this to happen.
Well, that's because good propaganda speaks to the laziness in us and you know, just shut up, go along, wave a plastic flag made in China. That's patriotic.
Alex, what about the overworkedness of us? I mean, you've got Greenspan and this whole conservative agenda of wiping out the middle class and having more and more people being the working poor, and they're just working so hard they don't have time to even pay attention to the news.
Now, wait a minute. Bush says that hamburger places are manufacturing, so we've actually added 4 million new jobs.
That's right. French fries are durable goods.
That's right. And, I mean, look, that's the insanity of all this.
Yeah.
And we've never had such corporate looting. We've never had such corruption. And, you know, the problem is both the parties are knee-deep or neck-deep in this graft and corruption until we all demand real accountability and swarm out of our houses down to our city councils and state legislatures. Frankly, I think that's where the fight's going to be won, is at the state and county level.
At the local level, yeah. It always has been.
And liberals, conservatives coming together for a Bill of Rights culture. And I tell you, in the cities I've traveled to, I actually wrote some of the resolutions that have been passed by cities, and the cities I've traveled to testify, I mean, it's the most diverse crowd you can imagine against the Patriot Act, and that's what's beautiful. That's the coalition that's going to defeat this globalist agenda.
And it's going to restore democracy or democratic republic or whatever you want to call it there.
Yeah.
We're talking with Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Josh, you wanted to make a final point. I got three more callers here. I want to move along. We've only got a few more minutes left in the program.
Sure, thank you. I'll keep it brief. I guess I sort of did slip in a question before, but my main question was, how can ordinary people who just work for a living like myself protect our own livelihoods but still do something to defend ourselves from this and our country from this?
Okay, great. That good question, Josh. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Alex, your answer. And then we'll go to Jim in Nashville.
Look, they all make us feel powerless, but all of us together doing little things, put up a website, call into talk shows, go to a city council meeting, pick an issue, just all of us doing little things together can hold this back. In fact, things would be a lot worse right now if we weren't here resisting this. They would be trying even more invasions of innocent, more attacks, more scams.
You're coming and going there, Alex, I don't...
Hello?
You're still there.
Yes, I am.
We got a flaky phone line, apparently.
Well, I really apologize. My point is that we need to continue to all of us just speak out and stay involved and stay informed, because we've already had an effect. But the mainstream media is not going to tell us that we've had an effect. But believe me, we have.
I have been saying for a year on this program, change doesn't come from the top down. It comes from the bottom up. It doesn't come out of political parties. It doesn't come from presidents. It never, ever has. Not in all of human history. Change comes from grassroots movements. And that's you and me. Jim in Nashville's on the line. 1-800-TALK. Yes. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're talking to Alex Jones and me.
Thank God for Tom Hartman.
Bless you, sir.
To Josh there's a book, Manufacturing Sense, by Noam Chomsky, that'll answer a lot of those questions.
Yeah.
I understand that the RNC and George Bush is going to bring out the military, 5,000 military personnel, to guard him and his fascist party while they're in New York. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I'd read that in the Associated Press that's being discussed. That is a massive outrage to have Caesar or the Fuhrer standing around with his military around him, and then when we point out that that's like Noriega or Pol Pot or something, they'll say, what do you mean? Are you against the military?
Yeah, but it's an open violation of posse comitatus. It's an open violation of federal law.
It's Caesar bringing his troops into Rome. It's openly flaunting that he's a military president. That's diametrically opposed to what America is.
Well, he just told us he's a war president. I'm a war president.
That's right. I'm a fodder. I'm a fodder race. Didn't you know?
Yeah. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Art in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Art, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on with Alex Jones of Infowars.com.
Yes, I had an interesting thing I was reading. I don't know if anyone else has been reading about it. In the New Mexico paper here, there's been maneuvers done by our government and the Mexican government. And do you know anything about that, Alex?
Yes. The Army War College, going back to 99, wants to merge our military with the Canadian and Mexican military, and it's all part of this Pan-American Union that both political parties are behind, because the big corporations want to erase national sovereignty lines so they can ignore our laws. And there's really two sides to the whole, globalist movement, and the dominant corporate system within that is moving to get rid of our sovereignty.
Yeah, these are the new overlords. I mean, basically, historically, humans have been dominated by warlord tyrants, theocratic pope tyrants, and what it used to be called the feudalism.
That's the norm.
Which is ruled by the rich. And
this isn't a conspiracy theory. You're right, sir.
This is no conspiracy theory. I mean, this is what Thomas Paine talked about.
It was in the paper, and I guess these two groups, they're of course in black, and it was in the early morning, and they came across the border and shot up a police station, and there was just barely a little mention of it in the paper, but
Yowzer.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
All right,
this
I got to move happening. Along. I got two, Alex. Before I got two more callers to take, and we got 2 minutes left in this segment of the program.
Go ahead.
Jim in Washington State's on the line. Hey, Jim, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for taking my call. And Alex, your website is great. Very interesting. I visited the InfoWars one as well. What I was going to just echo is what you were mentioning about the empowerment coming from the bottom up rather than the top down. And it basically is echoing something that I learned when I've been involved here in the Howard Dean campaign, which I'm still kind of helping people get delegates.
Hey, those voting
California.
Machines sure helped Kerry in New Hampshire.
You think?
Oh, Garrett, it's a total scam.
Yeah.
I lost some of that, actually. I didn't catch what you said.
He's raising the issue of the voting machines, which we've talked about here many, many times.
The voting machines in New Hampshire, the Diebold machine sure did good for him, for Mr.
Yeah, that's another huge, huge issue. Here's what I want to zero in on, though.
You've got 20 seconds, Jim.
The fact that we do need to make sure people realize that they do have the power, but part of it is we do need to somehow get around the media and become the media. Because
there you go. We need absolutely, and well said, Jim. Stick around. This is Tom Hartman. Alex, hang on. We got one more call. Ray in Washington, D.C. We'll pick you up on the other side of this break. Stay tuned.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the 8th letter of the alphabet, A is the 1st letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that 3 different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, cause it may not last.
If you want freedom in America, you better hurry up and come and get it. It's up to us. It's up to us, my friends, to participate in this nation, this great nation. 1-800-TALK, yes, we're talking with Alex Jones. Infowars.com is website. Is the police state here? And Ray in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Ray, we've only got about 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes here left. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just curious. I listen to you guys a lot through the Internet, and I agree with a lot that's said on the show, but right now I'm just confused about the backlash against when Bush says he's a wartime president. We are at war, and he's the president. Why is he catching grief for that?
Well, let me boil it down.
Which nation declared war on us?
Let me boil it down. George Bush represents the people who carried out September 11th, okay? And I've made 2 films on that subject. I can come on here and do 3 hours on it and lay out the facts. The PNAC documents are just the tip of the iceberg. There's the German technology minister saying it, Michael Meacher, their environment minister, saying it in England. I've got all the evidence, the public officials being warned not to fly, these people saying we need terror attacks to get the people behind this war. This is staged, just like the Gulf of Tonkin, just like Hitler and the Reichstag. All of this, we are going into a fascist New World Order state. It's really happening, and the whole war's a fraud. PNAC, Dick Cheney, they admit that Saddam wasn't a threat. It's about the oil. This is a total scam.
See, and Alex, this is where you and I part company. I believe that, you know, there really were terrorists, and there really was a terrorist act, but we should have responded to it as if the same way that Germany did when they had terrorists, the same way Italy did. I mean, Italy, they had terrorists actually
kidnapped
the prime minister. You know,
the CIA founded Al Qaeda, Mr. Hartman. The CIA founded it, ran it, they protected him. George Bush Sr. was having breakfast the morning of 9/11.
Sure, we helped put together Al Qaeda to help the run the Russians out of Afghanistan.
Telling you is I've made 2 films and written a book on the subject of 9/11, and all over Europe, mainstream news is talking about the CIA running those attacks through proxy terrorists.
Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow.
I'm not the only one saying it.
Real tough one.
Well, that's
okay, Ray, thanks for your call. I'm sorry we're at the end of the program. And Alex, thank you for your comments. I hope you can come back to the program one of these days.
Sure, I hope folks will research that 9/11 subject at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. And I'd love to come back on. Folks are lucky to have somebody like yourself out there.
Thank you, Alex.
Censoring the truth.
Thank you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against this
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. On the eve of a House hearing on broadcast indecency, the nation's largest radio station chain suspended Howard Stern's program, saying it did not meet the company's newly revised programming standards. Stern's suspension Wednesday by Clear Channel Radio was the second time in 2 days that the company has acted against the disc jockey. While Clear Channel maintains that indecency was the reason for Stern's suspension, Stern maintains that the country's political climate under George W. Bush is to blame. Stern said on his morning program that right-wing fascists have taken over the country. Clear Channel Radio is owned and operated by the family of J. Lowry Mays, major contributors to George W. Bush's political campaigns over the years. FBI agents destroyed evidence and failed to share other information that raised the possibility that a gang of white supremacist bank robbers may have assisted Timothy McVeigh during the Oklahoma City bombing, according to documents never introduced at McVeigh's trial. Both the FBI supervisor who ran the Oklahoma City investigation and the veteran agent who was in command at the bombing scene said the new evidence, detailed in documents obtained by the Associated Press, is serious enough to warrant reopening the inquiry 9 years later. The evidence, never shared with the Oklahoma City investigators or defense lawyers, includes documents showing the Aryan Republican Army bank robbers possessed explosive blasting caps similar to those McVeigh stole and a driver's license possibly stolen during the bombing plot. Tens of millions of indigenous children remain among the most vulnerable and marginalized groups in the world today, according to a new report released Wednesday by the Innocenti Research Center of the UN Children's Fund. Governments and aid agencies must do a better job of helping these children overcome the many challenges and prejudices that surround them, said the report. Over 300 million people are members of indigenous groups. They live in 70 countries and speak around three-quarters of the world's 5,000 languages. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A man yelling, "I'm a victim of terrorism," jumped a White House fence and ran across the North Lawn on Wednesday before being caught by Secret Service officers. The man scaled a fence along Pennsylvania Avenue and ran about halfway across the North Lawn before he was surrounded by uniformed Secret Service officers and led away in handcuffs. A photographer for the Associated Press, who witnessed the incident, said the man was shouting, "I'm a victim of terrorism and I need the president's help." For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've ever driven through the heart of West Virginia, you know how breathtakingly beautiful its mountains are. Even more breathtaking, however, is the push by George W.'s environmental wranglers to rig the Clean Water Act and our nation's mining laws. Why? So giant coal companies, please take a deep breath before I tell you this, literally can dynamite off the tops of these mountains. The coal giants delicately call this mountaintop removal. And it's so dastardly, so grotesque, so exasperatingly stupid as to leave anyone who sees it whopper-jawed. The story gets uglier. Having blasted off the top third or so of a mountain, along with its forests and animals, the coal companies then bulldozed the rubble, which used to be the mountaintop, down into the valleys and streams below, literally burying them hundreds of feet deep with what the companies call spoil. Why this barbarous assault? Because mountaintop massacre, as locals call it, is a dirt-cheap way for greed-headed coal barons to get at the coal down in the mountains. Luckily, we had regulations that restricted such avaricious sledgehammering, but that was BB, before Bush. The industry has pumped a coal train full of cash into Bush, and it even got its top lobbyist installed as George W.'s overseer of mining rules. So the Bushites rewrote the Clean Water Act to legalize the burying of streams, and now they're proposing a change that effectively will eliminate the only rule that limits mountaintop removal. With a straight face, they assert that they're merely trying to clarify existing regulations and reduce regulatory uncertainty. This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, if they get their way, it'll be a certainty that 2,200 square miles of West Virginia's venerable mountains and forests will be destroyed, and it'll be clear that another 1,000 miles of mountain streams will be buried. To fight their brutishness, call the Appalachian Center for the Economy and Environment, 304-645-9006.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. 7 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman, and we're in our third hour of the press. So much, I have a half-inch thick stack of stuff here. So much to do in so little time. It's really quite remarkable what's going on in the world. It was a great, great hour there with Alex Jones. And for our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, maybe, let's move it along here. Iraq's national air transport sector, which this is a fancy way of saying the airline industry of Iraq, has been quietly sold off, or 75% of it has been quietly sold off by our government, which is controlling Iraq, to one family. And the Open Society Institute, which is an institute actually funded by George Soros, has looked into this, and they've published a paper on it called Controlling Iraq's Skies. And they're recommending that this contract be frozen, because what they see happening is the same thing that happened in Russia when all of the state assets were privatized, and basically these oligarchies rose up. And see, what's happening is these nations are coming out of dictatorship, out of slavery, and, well, out of dictatorship anyway, and embracing laissez-faire capitalism and what they think is democracy. And so you get, you know, you have a state enterprise, for example, and you just give everybody, I mean, this is, you know, how it played out at the very beginning in Russia. You give everybody one share in the local steel factory, and that share is worth $10. And somebody has, over the years, just managed to accumulate a little bit more than everybody else. I mean, you always have plutocrats, as it were. And they go around saying, hey, sell me your shares. And they acquire enough that they acquire control of the business, and boom, you've now, and then they acquire another business, and you're on the road to creating monopolies. And historically, what we've done in the United States is we've said, I mean, from the founding of this country, literally, is we've said, you can't do that. You can't dominate an industry. You can't prevent competition by being so large and so powerful that no one can compete against you. That's not competition. That's monopoly. And monopoly is illegal. Now, Ronald Reagan thought that that was a, you know, he changed the rules of the game and stopped enforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act. A trust is just, a, you know, the 19th century word for monopoly. And no president since Reagan has had the courage to reinforce it. I mean, the last president that actually tried to use these laws was Jimmy Carter to break up AT&T. And now we see happening in Iraq this same process, where you're going to end up, I mean, we're privatizing the country, and you've got Americans coming in, and there are Iraqi families of wealth, and of dubious wealth in many regards, but Iraqi families of wealth, and you see them rising up now and buying these state assets, and one of these families bought 75% of the Iraqi air sector, what's called the air transport sector, which is Iraqi Airlines and all the rights to the airport and all that kind of. And this is a very dangerous precedent. Today is also the anniversary of the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993. February 26, 1993, a bomb exploded in the garage of New York's World Trade Center. And thanks to Brad Walrod, by the way, for alerting me to this, because I it had slipped off my radar. Killed 6 people, injured more than 1,000 others. And I'd like to get into some of the history of 9/11 and how this thing came about and what Clinton's role in it was and what Bush's and all this, you know, just a broad overview. I think it's worth the effort to get into this. Before I do, though, Kim in California is on the line with some comments. Hey, Kim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I called in blind, so I'm going to ask a question that has nothing to do with what you're talking right now. But I was listening this morning, and like the Doug Steffen, and they started making me a little mad because they keep on talking about the, you know, these investment accounts that the government wants to privatize for Social Security.
Right.
And how great they are, you know, how we'll be able to earn more money, et cetera. But I've heard no one talk about that. Will the government be able to steal from those accounts too?
Or will fat cats be able to steal from those accounts too?
That's right. I mean, you know, they call it borrowing, but let's face it, when they borrow, it's at low interest, and they never repay it.
Yeah.
You know, and I want anybody else, and of course, I know that you know this, and you talk about it all the time. The only president that ever set up a real schedule to pay back Social Security and rebuild it was Bill Clinton,
yeah,
and paid down the national debt, and that was Bill Clinton. And we actually had 1 year where we didn't borrow a dime, and we actually made payment on the principal of the national debt.
Actually, Jimmy Carter submitted a balanced budget. And in one of the years of his presidency, and before that, you had real serious efforts made to pay down the debt that we incurred as a result of World War II and the creation of Social Security. Well, there wasn't a debt for Social Security at the time, but, you know, to protect Social Security by both Roosevelt, Truman, and Eisenhower.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't totally aware of that, but
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but with Nixon and LBJ and Jack Kennedy and Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr., all of those presidents have basically... Kennedy arguably not, because Kennedy, while Kennedy cut the top marginal tax rate, he actually closed just a million small loopholes for mostly for corporations, but also for the wealthy. And so he actually increased tax revenues, even though the cons like to point out that he reduced the top rate from 90% to 70%.
I have one more question, and then I'll hang up.
Sure.
You know, they also talk about, you know, now that they've got the reduced tax rate for those who are invested and are receiving dividends, how cumbersome are they going to really try to crack down when these same corporations go offshore so they don't have to pay any taxes?
Well, they're already doing it. I mean, you know, Halliburton under Cheney set up, I think it was 87 offshore corporations, and actually, instead of paying taxes, got a tax refund in one of the last years of the Clinton administration when Halliburton was doing this under Cheney. It's not just them. I mean, the rogues list of major, huge multinational American-based corporations that have incorporated offshore just so that they can avoid paying American taxes is mind-boggling. And when the Democrats tried to put a piece of legislation in place that said that if you want some of that $87 billion in reconstruction money that's going to Iraq, then you have to be an American-based corporation that actually pays taxes here in the United States. The Republicans shot that down. They took it right out of the legislation and said, no, this is not going to stand. Sorry. If we've got companies that are tax cheats and welfare inhalers or whatever you call it, addicts, that's just fine with us because they make large campaign contributions, in particular to the Republican Party and Republican candidates, but also to conservative Democrats. And it just, you know, wasn't going to happen. Kim, thanks for the call and for your comments. I want to move back to this, the first week of January of 2001. Now, I know something about this because some months ago I actually sat down in a room with a few other people and Sandy Berger, who was then, back before 2001, was to Bill Clinton what Condoleezza Rice is right now to George W. Bush, the National Security Advisor. And Sandy Berger told us it was a invitation-only meeting with the press. And he told us that basically the story that I'm going to tell you. Now, the outline of the story that I'm going to tell you is from a Time magazine article, actually, by Michael Ellington back in August of 2002. And it's one of the best summaries, one of the best documents I've found. And I frankly, Time magazine did a really good job of documenting this. Unfortunately, it was more than a year ago and a year and a half ago. And we seem to have forgotten all this stuff. And George Bush is going to make sure that we forget it. In fact, the 9/11 Commission, there's a huge stonewall going on with that. Let me just digress for just a moment. The Seattle Times reports, quote, "In a blow to the commission investigating the September 11 attacks, House Speaker Dennis Hastert," good toady of corporate America, that my words, not the Seattle Times. House Speaker Dennis Hastert said he will not bring up legislation to extend the May 27th deadline for completing its report, officials said yesterday, end quote. You get this? On March 27th, the 9/11 Commission is supposed to be done. And the problem is they keep saying, on May 27th, you know, we really would like to talk to George Bush and Dick Cheney, and we'd like to see the documents from before 9/11. After all, we're supposed to be investigating 9/11, and they won't talk to us, and they won't give us these things, and they keep fighting us in court, and we'd like to talk to Al Gore and George and Bill Clinton as well, and now Clinton and Gore have said that they would be pleased to meet with the full panel, but George Bush will not, and neither will Dick Cheney, and not only that, they are fighting in court to keep from the panel that's investigating 9/11, the documents regarding 9/11, like the president's daily briefings, like the one that he got on August 6th that said, hey, Al-Qaeda is going to hijack some airplanes and attack targets on the East Coast in New York and Washington, D.C. I mean, this is mind-boggling. The White House, this news report here from the Center for American Progress, the White House has stonewalled so far, battling the bipartisan commission over access to classified material and witnesses. Commission members say that has caused delays that threaten to undermine the credibility of their report. They said they need an extra 60 days. Just an extra 60 days. Just give us 2 months to complete hundreds of interviews and review millions of documents. Now, earlier this month, Bush had said, well, okay, you know, I'm in favor of extending them. The problem is, Bush can say that and get the nice soundbite on faux news, but it requires an act of Congress, and it's going to have to go through Denny Hastert. And Hastert says, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. In fact, critics say Bush only half-heartedly supported the extension and put little pressure on Hastert to back down. What a surprise. The commission has also asked President Bush, Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice to reconsider testifying, but the White House said their decisions stand. They will not testify. So we're back in January of 2001, and power is being handed off from the Clinton administration to the new Bush administration. And Bill Clinton actually set this thing up. Sandy Berger talked about this, how they really got burned when the George H.W. Bush administration handed off to them, because basically they just left town and didn't say anything. Said, you figure it out. And so they didn't want that to happen, and so they decided that they were going to make the transition really smooth for the benefit of the nation. And they were going to tell the incoming Bush administration everything that the Clinton administration had figured out and what their plans were. I'll tell you what those were and what they had learned as soon as we come back from this break. 20 minutes past the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Our program, where the talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank or the RNC. Stay tuned.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show?
There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Multinational corporations don't want you to hear. This is Tom Hartman. Welcome back. Okay, the White House Situation Room. First week, January 2001. Sandy Berger, the National Security Advisor for the Clinton administration, is meeting with Condoleezza Rice and the transition team. He set up a series of 10 briefings with Rice and Stephen Hadley, who was her number two. And he said, I'm coming to this briefing. This is a quote from Berger. I'm coming to this briefing to underscore how important I think this subject is. I believe that the Bush administration will spend more time on terrorism generally and on Al-Qaeda specifically than on any other subject. End quote. That's what Sandy Berger told Condoleezza Rice. And then he turned it over to a man named Richard Clark. Richard Clark had become obsessed with Al-Qaeda during the 8 years of the Clinton administration. He worked for Sandy Berger. And he was probably the world's leading expert on Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. I mean, he was chair of the counterterrorism security group called the CSG. And that was formed within the Clinton White House. And as Time magazine says in this article by Michael Elliott, August 4, 2002, since the bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen on October 12, 2000, an attack that left 17 Americans dead, he, this being Clark, had been working on an aggressive plan to take the fight to Al-Qaeda. The result was a strategy paper that he had presented to Berger and other national security principals on December 20th. Now, this was after the election, but before Bush took power. Keep in mind, Bush took power in January of 2001, even though the election was in November of 2000. But Berger and this guy on December 20th, you know, the week before Christmas, Clark comes in and says to Berger and to the other people in the Bush in the Clinton administration, which was out, you know, one foot out the door, says we need to declare, all out attack. We need to, you know, declare war or whatever you want to call it. We need to go after Al-Qaeda. We got to do this. We got to do it now, or we're going to have big problems. And Sandy Berger says, you know, we can't start a war and then hand it off to George Bush. That would not be the right thing to do. He is the president-elect, and he and his administration should make the choice about whether or not we're going to do this. So even though he hasn't taken office, even though he hasn't been sworn in yet and hasn't started his presidency, you know, the election is over, the Supreme Court ruling is over, he's the new president. Let's sit down and tell them everything we know and let them decide. Now, Berger was assuming, and Clark were assuming, that once they laid this stuff out for Condoleezza Rice and Cheney and Bush and company, that they would go, holy cow, we got a problem here. We got to do something about this. And that they would want to go after al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden the same way that the Clinton administration had been working on it. Unfortunately, that's not quite what happened. And so, anyhow, it's up to Rice. So Clark, he did this. He had this PowerPoint presentation, actually, on this that he did for Condi Rice. And Clark's proposals called for the breakup of al-Qaeda cells and the arrest of their personnel, the financial support for its terrorist activities being systematically attacked, its assets frozen, its funding from fake charities stopped, nations where al-Qaeda was causing trouble, Uzbekistan, the Philippines, Yemen, given aid to fight the terrorists, and most important, Clark wanted to see a dramatic increase in covert action in Afghanistan to eliminate the sanctuary where al-Qaeda had its terrorist training camps and bin Laden was being protected by the radical Islamic Taliban regime. We'll continue the story right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned for more of the True People's Radio.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
After the top.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
Weather-related disasters are a growing drain on the global economy.
Oh,
I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Last year, floods, windstorms, heat waves, and other natural disasters caused $60 billion worth of damage around the world. Researchers who study weather-related disasters say the price tag has risen sharply in recent decades, and the trend is likely to continue. Thomas Loster works for the Munich Reinsurance Company in Germany, and he heads a UN commission that studies the costs of climate change and related disasters. Loster says the most expensive weather-related damage last year occurred in Europe, where a severe heat wave wilted crops and killed more than 20,000 people. In addition, China suffered heavy flooding, and the United States was hit hard by tornadoes in the Midwest. Loster says 2003 was one of the worst years in history in terms of weather-related damage. He says that rising expense is part of a long-term trend.
Is that
comparing decades, we find tremendous increases.
So I've got a wave file with a 20-hertz.
Foster says the economic costs of natural disasters were six times greater in the 1990s than they were in the 1960s. Loster says one reason for the increase in damage has to do with the weather itself.
Leave the network,
he says some extreme weather events, like the so-called 100-year floods and storms, are growing more frequent.
Every person can read that there is a 100-year event around the corner, and this tells us that they are no longer 100-year events, but the period has shortened.
Loster says the main reason for the increase in weather-related damage has to do with people. More and more people now live in disaster-prone places, and that means there's more high-value property that's now at risk. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament?
How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 26 minutes before the hour, and sitting on the dock of the bay here, are we watching democracy flow away? Hopefully not. Hopefully we can do something about this. Let's get back to this thing about 9/11. I just wanted to lay this out. This is just such a fascinating story. Clark wanted to see a dramatic increase in covert activity. They basically, Clark and Berger laid this thing out for Rice and company, and said, "We got to go after these guys. We got to do it now." This was in December and January of 2000, December of 2000 and January of 2001. Now, unfortunately, it wasn't until April that anybody in the Bush administration decided to actually discuss this. That was apparently when their next meeting was. And then they spent 4 months thinking about it before anything was prepared for George Bush to look at. Yeah, so by the summer of 2001, according to this Time magazine article, many of those in the know, the spooks, the button-down bureaucrats, the law enforcement professionals in a dozen countries, were almost frantic with worry that a major terrorist attack against American interests was imminent. And it was, of course, they were right. But the Bush administration was, you know, ignoring this. In 1993, this is the anniversary. So here we are. This is what, the 11th anniversary of the bombing of the World Trade Center. It had been bombed. In 1996, 19 American servicemen were killed in the Khobar Towers in Dahrain, Saudi Arabia, when that was bombed. 2 years later, in 1998, embassies in Tanzania and Kenya were bombed. Three times the U.S. got lucky. The Jordanians broke up an al-Qaeda cell in Amman. An Algerian based in Montreal panicked when he was stopped at the... Remember when this guy was trying to get in from Canada? He had all these explosives. He was going to blow up the LAX airport, Los Angeles airport. And then in Yemen, there was another attempt to blow up a U.S. ship, the USS the Sullivans. And the terrorists were on their way to blow up the boat, and they had so much explosives, so much explosive material in their little boat that it sank. So that was on January 3rd of 2000. But the Clinton administration was working on trying to do this, and they had a fallback strategy. If they couldn't get the allies enlisted in all this, the fallback strategy was to actually take out Bin Laden with a cruise missile. And they had actually tried that in 1998 after the embassy bombings. This from Time magazine. For all of 2000, sources tell Time, Clinton ordered two U.S. Navy submarines to stay on station in the Northern Arabian Sea, ready to attack if Bin Laden's coordinates could be determined. Time magazine goes on to say, by early 2000, Clinton was becoming infuriated by the lack of intelligence on Bin Laden's movements. "We've got to do better than this," he scribbled on one memo. "This is unsatisfactory." The problem was that if they fired any missiles at Bin Laden, if we were to have fired missiles at Bin Laden in Afghanistan, they would have had to go over the top of Pakistan. And the Pakistani intelligence service was in bed with bin Laden. So this is this is the history of this thing. If and it just goes on and on and on. As, when the new administration took office, Clark was kept on. This guy, you know, who was obsessed with Al Qaeda, Condoleezza Rice kept him on. In early February, he repeated this from the Time magazine article. In early February, he repeated to Vice President Dick Cheney the briefing he'd given to Rice and Hadley. There are differing opinions on how seriously the Bush team took Clark's warning. Some members of the outgoing administration got the sense the Bush team thought the Clintonites had become obsessed with terrorism. It is clear, says one, that this was not the same priority to them that it was to us. And then Time magazine goes on to point out, but other topics got far more attention. The whole Bush national security team was obsessed with setting up a national security system of missile defense. Now, why would that be? It might have something to do with the fact that Donald Rumsfeld, before he was brought in as Secretary of Defense, was making millions of dollars a year as a lobbyist for a small group, a small consortium of corporations that made missile defense systems, the Star Wars project. Donald Rumsfeld was a lobbyist for Star Wars. And when the Bush administration came into power, Star Wars became their number one priority. Ashcroft, his number one priority, cracking down on pot and pornography. He was going to be the crime buster secretary of attorney general. These guys were not particularly interested in terrorism. They just didn't think it was an issue. In fact, as Time magazine points out, according to the Bush administration, the Clark's concern about Al Qaeda and bin Laden, quote, was a Clinton proposal, end quote. And therefore, they didn't want